In the meantime, the tragedy of the 20th century was rapidly approaching. The year was 1914, and the Great War loomed like an apocalypse. Braque and de Rennes have gone to war, Picasso wrote on the 8th of August 1914 in a letter to Gertrude Stein. Apollinaire chose to enlist voluntarily. Braque and Apollinaire were both wounded by shrapnel in the head, and the latter died after contracting the post-war Spanish flu. Pablo held on in France, even though a new wave of hatred towards him was about to take hold with the war. Cubism's most venomous wrecker, Louis Vozel, wrote, "The fact that there are a few too many Germans and Spaniards in the folds of the Fauve and Cubists that Matisse had himself naturalized in Berlin, that Braque is a Sudanese art fanatic, and that the art dealer Kahnweiler is not exactly a compatriot of Julien Tanguy, while that reprobate Van Dongen was born in Amsterdam and Pablo in Barcelona, in itself is of little importance. Van Gogh was, after all, also Dutch. The question is not what language the Cubists speak, but whether they have found an artistic vein. Alas, I doubt it. Too many Germans and too many Spaniards, in short, in our nationalist France." But the artist continued to work and to diversify his techniques, from drawings to papier-collé, from paintings to sculptures. Take Man with a Pipe, in which the artist created a portrait by cutting out and gluing paper and fabric. The superimposed elements produce an effect that blends form and matter. The year was 1914, the Great War was just over the horizon, and yet the Cubist imagination succeeded in making forays into lightness. Picasso had already decided not to exhibit at the Salon. In France, therefore, his works could only be seen in a few galleries and by a few collectors. In fact, as Werner Spies pointed out, the dealer Kahnweiler provided peace of mind for artists and relieved them of the obligation to face a public that understood nothing of the most innovative works and was committed to pursuing his mission in a society hostile to the avant-garde by supporting all those who create the visual universe of humanity. But the war changed things. In December 1914, Kahnweiler's warehouse was seized by the French authorities, for he was a German citizen who had always been reluctant to apply for French citizenship. With 700 works disappearing within 10 years, Picasso suffered what he would always feel as a real amputation, especially as they belonged to the period of his so-called heroic cubism. And here, too, a campaign was unleashed against the foreigner, in this case, against the dealer. The declaration of war marked the sudden collapse of his professional world, the end of his association with painter friends. No gallery owner, no collectors, no critics, no income. And so it is not surprising that Picasso took refuge in the private sphere, reconnecting with his mother. He wrote to her regularly, and from her he received alarming news about Barcelona. The city had been struck in 1911 by a typhus epidemic, with hundreds dying daily. He would send her a monthly check for 200 or 300 francs, which soon became 500. The international movement fell apart everywhere, and Picasso felt lost. His revolution of forms no longer existed physically, and he realizes that he could no longer rely even on love, because the death of his partner, Eva Guel, had left him distraught. In the midst of the war, he did not know what to do, but he found a way alongside a new character who appears in this 20th century theatre. His name is Jean Cocteau. He was barely 25 years old and he came from a wealthy Parisian bourgeois family. He was intelligent and imaginative, and just 3 months into the war, on the 28th of November 1914, Cocteau launched the magazine Les Mots in collaboration with the illustrator-drawer Paul Iribe. In it, he sought to give a cultural response to the national crisis in moderate tones. 2 years later, he wrote Parade, the libretto for a new artistic project for Sergei Diaghilev, founder of the Ballet Russe, with whom he had been working since 1912. This was a total work of art, combining painting, music, and modern dance in a simple plot. In front of a small fairground theatre, a small group of wandering artists, an acrobat, a Chinese conjurer, and an American girl, perform numbers to attract passers-by and get them into the theatre. Eric Satie was chosen for the music, and when it came to choosing people to produce the sets and costumes, Cocteau suggested Picasso. A new chapter now began. In 1917, Pablo followed Jean to Rome to prepare Parade, and on this occasion he not only came face to face with classical antiquity, always a source of ideas and inspiration, discovering the ruins of Rome, Pompeii, and Herculaneum, but also developed an interest in popular art, wondering at the verve of the acrobats in the Harlequin character. At this time, he also studied 19th century French painting, including artists such as Corot and Ingres. Many traces of these interests can be seen in the works of this period. He also took to the Futurists and, in parallel, carried on his development of Cubism. In Parade, the scenes and costumes suggest an aesthetic aiming at dissonance and shattering. Picasso met Gino Severini, choreographer Leonid Massin, and composer Igor Stravinsky. He also found love, a ballerina, Olga Koklova, whom he was to marry in Paris a month later on the 12th of July 1918.